How many of you are familiar with that saying, if looks could kill? Familiar with that? So I've heard it used a couple different ways, and I want to give you a couple examples. One would go like this. I've never seen her so angry. If looks could kill, I'd be dead right now. So that's one way I've heard that saying. Here's another way I've heard that saying used. It kind of goes like this. She's so beautiful. If looks could kill, my heart would stop and I'd be dead. So is it true, though? Can somebody give you such a nasty look that it could kill you? Well, let me tell you what. If it were true, I'd be like dying every single week. And sometimes even on Sunday morning as I'm preaching and looking out here. So Mario just gave me, our men's minister just gave me this nasty look just to see what would happen. I mean, you're testing it? You testing it, brother? And check this out. If somebody could look so good and be so beautiful that we looked upon them, that our heart would stop and we would die, I would have died like 30 years ago the first time I took a look at my wife, right? You see what I did there? Yeah, that's called points, guys. It's called points. It's true, though. So looks, you know, how we look, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't kill. Looks might not be able to kill, but our words can. See where we're going with this? Our words can kill. Our words can hurt. The title of today's message is, Do Your Words Hurt or Heal? Do your words hurt or heal? We're going to continue our journey through the Sermon on the Mount. We're looking to the words of Jesus because we want the worldview of Jesus. We want to think the way Jesus thinks, and we want to live the way Jesus has rebirthed us to live as Him, salt and light in this world today. And one of the things we learn as we look at the worldview of Jesus is that our words matter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Matthew 5, 21, the words of Jesus. You have heard it said to the people long ago. Now, Jesus is about ready to quote Exodus 20 from the Ten Commandments. So you've heard it said long ago to the people this, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, now that's an Aramaic term meaning empty-headed. Anyone who says to his brother, you're empty-headed, they're answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Our words matter. It's no joke. So from this passage of Scripture, and we're going to be in Matthew 5, 21 through 26. We're going to get to all the way through 26 here in just a little bit. But from this passage of Scripture, we could talk about the difference between killing and murder. And I've been tempted to go into that. And there is a difference between killing and murder. We're told not to murder. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that whole teaching. There's a difference between the two. We could talk about that. We could dig into the importance of forgiveness and restitution, which are extremely important. We're going to touch on that just briefly this morning, but we're going to pick that up again later on in our study through the Sermon on the Mount because it's that important. But today, I feel what the Lord wants to emphasize to us right here and right now is that our words matter. Do your words, what you say to other people, what comes out of your mouth, do your words hurt or do they heal? Point number one, our words matter because we matter. Why do our words matter? Because we matter. When I speak to you or even speak about you, I'm not just talking about somebody without a face. I'm not talking about some stranger. I'm not talking to a stranger. I'm not just talking about like the weather or, hey, did you see the sunset or the sunrise today? No, it's much deeper than that. When I talk to you, or when I speak about you, I'm speaking to somebody who was created in the image of God. I'm speaking to somebody or about somebody who was formed in their mother's womb by the sovereign creator of the universe. That's who I'm talking to. That's who I'm talking about. If you're a fellow believer, I'm actually talking to a child of God. A child of God. And the Heavenly Father's listening when I'm talking to his child. And he's listening when I'm talking about his child. And he cares greatly what I have to say to his son or his daughter. And I just want to stop on that for a moment. We were singing about that. We were worshiping in that. We were getting words about that this morning during worship. And that's this, that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you've gone through that rebirth, that regenesis, being born again in Christ Jesus, if that's you, then you are a son or you are a daughter of God, the creator of the universe. That's who you are now. I mean, that's big time. That's important that you understand that and that we live out of that reality every moment of every day. It says this in Romans 8:15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. He's talking to believers here. But you received the spirit of sonship. And by him, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that what? We are God's children. We're God's children. That's important. That's big time. I was watching basketball last night because Baylor, ranked number one in the nation, Baylor Bears, Sikkim Bears, hooah! Anyway, Dick Vitale was announcing, and you know, that sounds like something he would say, that's big time, baby, big time. Anyway, you're a child of God if you're in Christ Jesus, and that is big time. That's big time, baby. First time I ever heard Dick Vitale talk good, nice, and positive about Baylor Bears. Anyway, let's get back to what's really important here, the Word of God. All right, come on now, focus. See, the creator of the universe, if you are in Christ Jesus, he's your father now. He's your father. In fact, you've been adopted. He chose you. You know, I've heard people talk about this like, hey, you know, somebody was making fun of somebody about being adopted and talking like that's bad or something. And they tell their schoolmate back, they say, oh yeah? Well, my mom and dad chose me. Your parents just got stuck with you. Anyway, I didn't mean to go there with that either. But the point is this, is that you're a child of God. You've been chosen. Not forsaken. We just sang about that, and he's a good father. He has brought you into his family through his son. You are wanted. You are desired. You are loved. He came after you and gave it all to bring you into his family. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. And so when I talk to you, it matters what I say to you. It matters how I talk to you, how I talk about you. The Heavenly Father, creator of the universe, cares what I'm saying to you. He cares. So what we say to one another matters. You know, as a parent, I have a real problem when somebody mistreats one of my kids. When somebody starts talking like negative to or about one of my kids, I got a real problem with that. I want to go bring the hammer down on him. You know what I'm saying? And it takes every bit of Jesus in me to not do that, to not act out of my flesh, right? Father doesn't like somebody speaking poorly about his kids. And I want you to think about that in the reality that you're a child of God. Our Heavenly Father doesn't take kindly to people talking negative about his kids. Church is called the bride of Christ. That's another mystery and miracle. In Revelation 21, we see it in Isaiah many times, see it in Ephesians 5. We see it throughout Scripture that the church, the people of God, are actually called the bride of Christ.
And this is what God's word has to say about that. 2 Corinthians 11:2. I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. So once again, we got to know who we are and who we're talking to and who we're talking about and why our words matter. Children of God, the bride of Christ. I want to just say something very practical here right now. If you are engaged in any form, whether it's coming out of your mouth or in social media, about saying negative things about the church, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the global church, the church in general. Stop doing that. Amen. Stop doing that right now. You're hurting the heart of God. You're throwing mud at the bride of Christ, who Jesus is preparing and getting ready to come and to bring unto himself. Stop doing that. Oh, but they don't seem like they got it all together. Fine. Call them up personally and talk with them. And let them know you love them and you care for them and talk through some things. But don't be talking negatively about the children of God. Stop doing that. It's not righteousness. It's not helping. I believe it's hurting the heart of the Heavenly Father. Anyway, that was extra credit. That was for somebody in this room. You don't have to raise your hand. So anyway, I don't know who it is, by the way, so I'm just saying. I have no clue. I'm just saying the Lord had me say that because it's important. Look, when I call a Christian brother or even myself, and I'm going to start talking about a little bit about self-talk, about words we speak over ourselves, but when I call a Christian brother or sister a sinner, what effect does that have on them? What effect does that have on them when I look to a Christian brother and I say, man, you're just still a sinner? You know, am I unleashing life, the life in Christ Jesus over them, or am I unleashing shame and condemnation on them? When I call Christians sinners, am I calling them by their new name or am I calling them by their old name? Their old name. Their old name. The one that was changed because there was quite a big price that was paid for that change of name. Quite a big price paid by Christ himself. Let's keep talking about our words and why they matter. I want to talk about self-talk a little bit. What do I mean by self-talk? I mean, like, when we speak words about ourselves or over ourselves. Does anybody in here do that? You know, like you talk to yourself and you say things about yourself. I'm raising my hand because I do that, and I want to say right now that's a holy thing to do because the man after God's own heart, King David himself, did a lot of self-talk. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Come on, David. Put your hope in God. Come on, man. Think right. Get it right. You know, so self-talk. But self-talk can be really, really dangerous if we're not careful. Because I don't know about you, but I've gone to some pretty dark and unproductive places with self-talk. When I do something unwise, let's say. Something, when I sin and I miss the mark. And instead of coming before the Lord and just humbling myself before him and getting back up in who I am in Christ Jesus, I start talking to myself in negative ways. Like, man, you're just stupid, man. Why'd you do that? And you start, you know, you just start declaring negative things. That's not good, church. It's not productive. It's not helpful. It's harmful. That's not good self-talk. We need to be declaring our real identity and who we are in Christ Jesus over ourselves. When I talk to my brothers and sisters in Christ, when I call you a saint, you know, when I walk up to Bill, I say, Bill, you're a saint. You know, you're a child of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. What does that do to my brother? That causes him to come alive in Christ Jesus. That causes the grace of Christ Jesus to just start to bubble up inside of him and start to pour into his spirit and who he is, and he starts to walk differently, walk taller, because he's being reminded of his identity. He's being reminded of who he is right now. Big difference. Very important. What we say to one another, church, is so important. How we speak to one another is so important. Our words can hurt or they can heal. They can bring out Jesus or they can just cause all the other junk to start bubbling up again. Our words matter because we matter. You matter. We matter to God. Our words matter. So point number one, our words matter because we matter. Let's go into point number two. Our words matter because they are powerful. Powerful. I don't feel very powerful. You are. Your words are powerful. You've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a complete lie. La, 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 la. That's a lie. That's a lie. Words can not only hurt, they can kill. They can destroy. Words are that powerful. According to Harvard, their mental health letter, they say this. Scolding, swearing, yelling, blaming, insulting, threatening, ridiculing, demeaning, and criticizing can be as harmful as physical abuse, sexual abuse outside the home, or witnessing physical abuse at home. Now, it took over 2,000 years for secular academia to catch up with the truth of God's word and what he's already been saying. Our words are powerful, and they matter, and they can bring life or they can bring death. Our words are powerful. You know, God spoke the world into being by the power of his words. We see it in Genesis, obviously, but it's also reiterated in Hebrews 11. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke it. Why did he speak it? Because words are powerful. They create things. They can create negative things or they can create really positive, amazing things. And everything God created was good. It was sin that messed it all up, right? Words have that kind of power. And now we are made in his image. And so what does that mean about our words? It means our words also carry power. Of all the creatures on this planet, only mankind was created with the ability to use words, to speak words. The power to use these words, it's a unique, authoritative gift from God. It's a gift. It's authoritative. It's powerful. With our words combined with our belief, we can tear down or we can build up. I mean, look at how powerful words are. Check this out. Scripture says, how do you be saved? Believe in your heart, and confess, speak with your mouth. When you take belief and you couple that with then speaking it and declaring it, having it come out of your mouth, an entire eternity can be changed. We come out of darkness into the light of Christ Jesus through belief and confession, what we say out of our mouths. That's how powerful our words are. They can change lives forever. Belief and speak. Wow. A lady once came to famed preacher and evangelist Billy Sunday. Now, I was reading this week, and I got to admit, I was a little jealous because that's a cool name for a preacher, Billy Sunday. My name is Pastor Eric Jones. I want to change my name. I'm thinking about, Bishop Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and always on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and look out for Saturday, Jones. That'd be my name. Anyway, that's where my mind goes sometimes during the week as I think about things. But then I prayed, I repented for, and I'm all good. I love my name. I'm getting a new one and a new body and all that. Oh, all things made new. Revelation 21, bring it on, Jesus. Okay, so this lady came to this preacher, Billy Sunday, and she tried to rationalize her angry outburst. There's nothing wrong with losing my temper, she said. I blow up, and then it's all over. So does a shotgun, Sunday replied. And look at the damage it leaves behind. Our words are powerful. What we leave behind that came out of our mouths can leave a lot of hurt or can leave a lot of life. Our words are that powerful. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. It's no joke. What we speak matters. Do your words hurt or do they heal? You know, I can reply to my kids a couple different ways when they mess up. I've done both. But I you know, say one of them messes up and they're hurting and they're broken and they're afraid of what my response is going to be. If I come to them and I just say, you know what, I love you and I just want to remind you that you are God's beloved. What do you think happens to them right now? They get hit with a wave, but that wave, it lifts them up. And they ride that wave of joy and encouragement and identity right out of and totally away from a place of condemnation and shame. But now if I respond to my kid who messed up in this other way, and I say, man, you just, again, really? You continue to miss the mark. I don't know if you're ever going to get it right. Are you ever going to figure this out? You know what? They're going to get hit by a wave, but that wave isn't going to cause them to ride off into their future with joy and encouragement and in the blessings of God. It's going to crush them. It's going to come down on them hard, and it's going to crush them. The power of our words to hurt or to heal, to bring life or death, it's no joke. It's real. There are some of you in the room right now who 50, 60, 70 years old, and there have been words that have been spoken to you back when you were this tall that you're still wrestling with, that still hurt. That's how powerful our words are. That's because Proverbs 12:18 tells us that reckless words pierce like a sword. In other words, reckless words bring hurt. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do your words hurt or do they heal? And I want to be honest with you right now. I have released way too many reckless words in my life. And I was grieving all week. I'm still grieving. Way too many reckless words that have caused way too much damage. The people I love are still recovering. Our words are powerful. Powerful. They can bring hurt or they can bring healing. Let me talk about our mission that we have at Evident Life Church of influencing and engaging with our world. Let me kind of take it to our mission right now. What our words can mean in that, on that stage. Why does the church need to show up in our culture today? Because they need what we have. We need to be salt and light. And we got to show up in our culture, but not just show up and be quiet. We need to show up and speak up. We need to speak truth. We need to speak life. We need to speak Jesus. Like, have it come out of our mouths. Be vocal about these things in our culture. Why? Because when we speak it, it's powerful. When we speak it, it creates. When we speak it, it brings healing. When we speak it, it changes things. Do you want our culture to change? Then let's show up and let's speak God's word, His heart, His truth into our culture, into the situations that are going on in our world today, into people's lives. The world needs to hear the truth. So words can tear down, but they can also build up. Proverbs 16:24. I got to get cruising here. 16:24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Okay, our words are that powerful. They can bring healing to our souls. Get our hearts back in a place where they're not hurting anymore. But did you see what Scripture just said? They also bring healing to bones, to our physical bodies. That's crazy. But that's why we're told to pray for the sick. That's why we're told to pray and speak life and healing over people. It's not our job to figure out, you know, and diagnose situations. We're supposed to release out of our mouths life and healing. Those sweet words over people's lives, our words are that powerful. They can actually affect the physical realm, what we speak and what comes out of our mouths. That's incredible. Mark 11, 23, I tell you the truth, if anyone says, means uses words, speaks, it's not tricky, it's not just doctrine, this is like real. If anyone opens their mouth and says to a mountain, speaks to a mountain, go throw yourself in the sea and does not doubt, there's that belief and that speaking, going together, does not doubt in his heart but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. I mean, that's in the Bible, guys. That's the words of Jesus right there. That's no joke. That's serious. Do we live at that level of faith? Do we understand what God really means by that? Do we walk that way? Do we speak that way into situations in our life, in our world, into our relationships? Do we speak with that kind of belief and conviction and understanding of how powerful our words really are? I want to challenge everybody to spend some time with the Lord. Process this with him. Our words matter because they're powerful. Point number three, our words matter because they reveal the heart. So Jesus uses the topic of murder, and then he uses adultery in his sermon to remind us it's not just about the letter of the law, but it's actually about the heart. Our actions matter. Our actions matter, but it's ultimately a heart issue. Whatever it is, whether we murder somebody physically or we speak in a harmful way into somebody, those are all coming out of our heart. It's ultimately a heart matter. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. Luke 6, it's also found in Matthew 15. Words are powerful because they reveal and they release what's in the depths of our heart, of our inner man, of our inner being. And they're an indicator of a heart problem. So what's the prescription for a bad heart? If you got bad stuff coming out, what's the prescription? Jesus. Jesus is the prescription. You want to stop saying harmful things? Jesus. Come on now. Jesus is your answer. Release him in your heart, in your life. Whatever those broken areas, let him truly renew those areas and let life flow out of you. It says that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He'll fix our hearts. Bring it before him. Point number four. Our words matter because they bring reconciliation. See, where there's been anger, harsh words that have been released in anger, there's a need for reconciliation. And so we finish up this section of scripture in verse 23 of Matthew 5, where Jesus says, therefore, this is right in the context of releasing harsh words and hurt over people. And he says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly. Reconcile with them, with your adversary, the one who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth. You will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Can you hear God's heart in this? Can you hear his heart? Man, if you've hurt somebody, if you become angry with them, if you've hurt them, don't leave it that way. Go and make it right. Even before you come worship me, go make it right with that person. Release life. Speak life over them. Speak blessing over them. Speak forgiveness over them. Speak their identity over them. Apologize. Reconcile. Restore that relationship. Then come and meet with me. Come and worship me. So as I conclude, I'm going to go back to the question, which is the title of the message. Do your words hurt or do they heal? I'm going to pray something. I wrote this prayer out this week. It's going to be on the screen. And I want to invite you, if you want to pray it with me, you can pray it with me. But I'm going to pray this, because I need this. I want my words to be sweet. I want them to heal and bring life. If you want to pray with me, you can pray with me. Lord, forgive me for the hurt I've caused to others and the hurt I've caused to myself because of my reckless words. Bring healing. Today, I choose to come into agreement with the word of the Lord and use my words to bring life, to bring encouragement, to bring healing, to bring reconciliation, and to spread love. Jesus, sanctify my heart, sanctify my speech, and fill me with your amazing grace that I might speak words that are sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.